Welcome one and all once again to Dual Wielding for the week of April 27, 2015. I am joined this week by Martin.
Hello.
And Daniel.
Hi.
Who are going to be super duperly positive this week because they saw that Jim Sterling video and they did not like what it reflected about them, right?
I can't lie, unfortunately.
No, he was pretty spot on, again.
All I did is complain about how the Star Wars trailer had no fucking gameplay in it, so, you know.
Well, I mean, I feel like that is a fair criticism to make. We were just talking about movie trailers. Movie teasers are different because you usually film the film already, and you have a finished product in the can, so you can kind of cut that footage.
Well, not to mention in a video, you can't show anything other than the film itself. Not really.
Well, I mean, you can. Pixar's pretty famous for that, where they have teasers of stuff that's actually never in the film. I remember, like, The Incredibles one, where it's, like, Mr. Incredible trying to fit into his old suit and stuff like that.
Yep, but they are kind of, like, mini, like, short films.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is also kind of fine and fun.
Yeah, and I think in the case of...
You can't really misrepresent a film in a trailer that easy.
Yeah, like, that's what I was going to say. That doesn't misrepresent... You can misrepresent a film in a trailer, though. There are a lot of films that are sold one way, and you end up getting something different. Though, that isn't necessarily the same thing as misrepresenting the game, because it's not like you're going to show, okay, this is what a movie looks like, and then it turns out you're going to get something else. But it's more like, this is the tone we're going for, this is the style of movie we're going for, and it ends up not being the type of movie you get. I don't know if you remember a few years ago, like, that lady tried to sue because she thought Drive advertisement was misleading. Like, she thought it was going to be like another Fast and the Furious type film and ended up being something much more different. So there are films that are misrepresented on what they are. I think infamously there's been a few comedies that have been sold, like, more like dramedies, where they've been sold as straight comedies and then they kind of take a dark twist. I remember people had that problem with Man of the Year. I think that's the one with Robin Williams in the presidency.
And I don't know.
But yes. It's a very, very odd... We've had this discussion before. I don't necessarily think it's a negative thing to be upset when a game... Like, should I just be excited because it's Star Wars? Like, if you're not showing me what the actual game is going to look like, what it's actually going to play like, I can understand that reserve cynicism. But I do think
especially when they're like, they're telling us about the game, but they're not showing it to us. Like, why tell us if you're not going to show it to us? You know?
Exactly. And it's not, and it's, I mean, kind of going back to the movie example.
And it's not like they don't have something to show because they have shown other people.
Yeah, everybody keeps telling, the press have seen 10 minutes of gameplay on Endor. Like, well, why can't we fucking see it?
Yeah, and I was going to say, before we started recording, we were talking about the Batman v Superman and the Star Wars teasers. And the big difference with those is they were a year out. Star Wars is due at the end of this year. We are roughly, 7 months away from its release? So yeah. it's not like you need to necessarily hide it. But it's weird, because even games that we kind of know about do that. Like, Call of Duty Black Ops kind of had that teaser trailer first. And it's like, we kind of have an idea what this is going to look like. Why not just tell us up front and not play coy?
Mm. Yep. Well, so, in the case of Black Ops, much more leaked, though.
Well, I mean, at this point, I am surprised that Activision even bothers with this whole thing, because I'm almost certain that every Call of Duty in the past, like, 7 years has leaked ahead of their reveal.
Yeah.
Because I know, like,
when
Modern Warfare 2 is when it started.
You both spoke over each other. I didn't know what you were saying.
Yeah.
What happened?
I mean, when they are announced and released is at this point no longer a secret.
That's the thing I don't get. Like, the only reason I understand them being so coy about it is they probably don't want to cut the tail off of the ass game. But yeah, at this point, they are usually teased at the end of April. They technically are usually revealed at the end of May. They usually do it during the NBA Finals. And then you have, like, the full gameplay reveal of multiplayer or whatever at E3. And then you have, like, the trailer in August, and then you have, like, the single player, because everybody's always is going to have a single player. Then they usually do the single player stuff in, like, September, and then the game's out first week of November, end of October, and it's a cycle that hasn't been broken in about 6 years, so I don't know why it's so surprising. what is Activision going to surprise us with this year?
Nothing, because they never surprised us.
Yeah.
Surprised me anyway.
So, I mean, this is a great start to a positive show. We talked about two reveals that we aren't too keen. Well, I mean, I guess the Black Ops 3 reveal wasn't... it's just like it's Call of Duty. Like, I don't get why you make a big dog and pony show out of it. We kind of know when to expect it.
And not to mention is you're not going to attract anyone new. You're just getting the same people to buy the games as always. Well, that's what your entire business model is about.
You're getting less people to buy the games nowadays, and that's going to be something that they're going to... And I think we mentioned this before. Part of the problem with it, with them having like three different studios doing it, is like, okay, I kind of like the stuff that they introduced in the last game, but this is going, like, from what I honestly didn't watch the tease, I don't necessarily care about Call of Duty, but from what I've seen a lot of comparisons, it seems to be Deus Ex. A lot of people seem to be making that comparison. Last year it was Titanfall.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the storyline is very much like Deus Ex, with having, like, people
that are improved by
technology, and then the others that are not, and then having basically a civil war based around that.
The best thing about this is that it's got nothing to do with what happened in Black Ops 2, which has nothing to do with what happened in Black Ops 1, which has nothing to do with what happened in World at War, and they're all games in the same series.
Yep, and this is going to be called Black Ops 3. They will probably somehow find some small relationship.
It'll just be characters. It's just characters carry over, and that's it. Like,
isn't this too far in the future? So most of them should be dead.
I don't know.
I think so.
I have no idea. It's a very weird game with its storyline.
I thought for the
story, but like, at least if you're going to pretend to have a continuity, at least try.
Well, I mean, part of it is, like, because, like, you know, like, there's Black Ops 1, 2, and now 3, but then you have games in between that aren't related. I guess it would be, like, Marvel, where, if, like, Marvel called everything Iron Man, like, Iron Man, Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, like, yeah.
I understand, like, having different continuities between the developers, but, like, even between Treyarch games, they don't connect.
Yeah, it's
they have the same name, but they're not...
I was about to say, at this point, they seem to be brands. It's like, okay, Modern Warfare is a brand. Black Ops is a brand. I imagine that Advanced...
Certainly won't be a Call of Duty Ghost 2.
You never know.
I wouldn't put it past current Infinity Ward.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, that some of the stuff that leaked about Black Ops 3, I think it sounds like a good package again. I mean, having, like, co-op and single-player this time around, having, like, a real zombie campaign, and actually the traversal sounds even more like Titanfall than it was in Advanced Warfare.
Okay. I guess kind of to get all the negativity out front, and I don't necessarily know if this is negative, I don't know how you feel, but, I mean, this has been strongly hinted at and rumored for the past year, and it kind of makes sense, but apparently we're getting a Gears of War remastered.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah, so
just the
work.
First game.
So it can not work on release for 4 months, and then when it when they promise Gears of War 2 as to make up for it, then we're going to miss out important features. Yeah, okay.
I feel like this is a subtle reference to something.
But honestly, fucking, you couldn't fuck the Master Chief up anymore if you tried. Almost as if 343 didn't give a single shit about Halo. Oh, wait, hang on, we already knew that because they released Halo 4, didn't they? Carry on.
I am with Martin on this one. I am hoping... And this is just me really kind of being an optimist. I'm really hoping that they're all talking about the first one, because it seems really cynical to do the Gears of War remastered and not do all three of them.
Well,
or
not only that, is what the first one's the worst one.
Yeah,
not according to the article. They want to go back to the basics and the grand.
It's the worst one. Okay, if you ignore that, if you pretend that Judgment doesn't exist, which is what most people do, it's the worst one.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I kind of enjoyed the storyline more on the first one, but from a pure gameplay perspective,
yeah.
All of the other ones were better.
Yeah, it's, and I mean, I know how people feel about this, and honestly, I'd probably buy, especially if they do like 4-player co-op, I'd probably buy it. But
after the Master Chief Collection,
but
why would
they do 4-player co-op when the original game actually only was 2-player co-op?
I know, and the first two were only 2-player game. I said if they did 4-player, I mean, it wouldn't make sense because you'd have to retrofit the game a bit, and it seems like everybody's doing the least amount of work to get these things out.
That sounds like way too much work for a remaster.
And that's what I was going to say. I jokingly call this generation the best of gen. It seems to be the best of last gen, the best of the gen before, and it is kind of getting tiresome. These are bad games. I enjoy the first Gears of War. I do think that the next two build on it much better, but I do enjoy the first one.
Yeah, it's not like they're bad games, but I mean, I think I said it before, like, I feel like by the end of this generation, we will have remasters of every big franchise from last gen.
This is a problem, because, like, I keep saying that consoles are shit PCs, right? On PC, you don't have to rebuy the games again, and they always look, like, pretty good, you know? Especially nowadays.
Well, to be fair, and this is... I mean, this would have been alleviated a lot by having backwards compatibility, and I understand that people said that they took it out because it wasn't a feature that people used, but the cynical side of me is just like, they took it out because they wanted to sell you these games again.
Well, no, the real reason why they took it out is because it's not possible.
Yep.
You can't do it, because, like, the backwards compatibility on the 360 is done by emulation, and which is why every game doesn't work with, not every game works with it. You can't emulate a 360 the 360's hardware on an Xbox One. You just can't do it. You need so much more power.
Yeah, as I say, the other workaround is the way Nintendo does it, and that people have problems with because it does hold back the overall system, which is basically just putting the Wii inside the Wii U, or putting the Cube inside of the Wii.
And I think that, like, the problem is that console games until now have been console hardware, even until now has been, we must make the weirdest hardware possible and just get our developers to deal with it. Whereas now, I think that now that we've got a sort of, now all the consoles are basically PCs, in hardware terms, it shouldn't be a problem from now onwards, but
hopefully,
yeah. It's just...
Yeah, well, I mean, okay, yeah, it's...
Now, because we have to, because it means that they're using it as an excuse to remake all these games, and...
Yeah, and it's not even, it's, okay, I have a problem with remakes, it's not even so much that right now. What kind of bothers me is that it's not even like, okay, we're filling in a gap, it's just like, we're just going to keep doing these and doing it. It's like, okay, like, to use the Nintendo, for the Wii U, they've done Zelda. And they did Wii Sports, and those were kind of two different years. Microsoft has done the Master Chief Collection, which you've already noted. They're doing this Gears one, and they've upported a few games from the Xbox 360. Sony has done The Last of Us. There's rumors of an Uncharted. They're doing God of War 3. And it's just like, and this is not counting the third parties who are just like, I kind of thought this thing hit the bubble when we got Cell Damage HD. Like, nobody remembers Cell Damage to begin with.
I mean, and this is the thing, and this is why I play games on PC, is because I don't ever have to rebuy the games. Because
the thing is, I don't even want to rebuy them.
Yeah.
And they are putting these things out. I don't care. I played these games years ago, sometimes multiple times already. I don't want to. And if you want me to care... Maybe do it at a price point that seems reasonable.
And if you cared so much about all these old games, you'd keep your old hardware around.
Yeah, I'd say that's the other thing. It's like, this not like these are coming out at like $20. These are still coming out at $40, $50, $60 for these titles. And like we said, everybody's doing the bare minimum. Like I said, I enjoyed the first Gears of War, but like you said, it's bested by the other two. I'm imagining they're not going to put all those improvements in the game. Like I doubt they're going to put the 4-player co-op, which became a thing. I doubt they're going to put Horde mode in Gears of War.
Yep.
And it's like, yeah, so why bother? It's a 10-year-old game next year, and it's been bested at least twice by its own sequels. Like, it doesn't make sense for me to go back. Like, and it's already a good looking game. Like, I think Gears of War ages well, partially because it has a very brown environment, but it ages well. And just thinking about it, there's also some really stupid parts of that game that I imagine they won't cut because you want to keep it for purity's sake, like those stupid bats.
Yeah.
Or that final boss. So yeah, if you're going to do remasters, I think you should do them right. I think you should kind of take the time to see what has changed, what has evolved, what can we fix, and what, like, I understand the core of the game should remain the same, but like turning these out just because, oh, we'll just kind of slap them on and make them shinier and people will buy them is kind of grating. And it's only hurt by the fact that people do it all the time now.
And like, they're trying to sell consoles. The best way to sell a console is to make fucking new games for it.
Well, I mean, it's been working for Sony, so who knows? And that's not. I don't want to cite Sony. They have, you know, they did Bloodborne, and they did Bloodborne, so they have something on their resume now. But it does seem like a lot of people are just like, we don't have anything, so we'll just kind of give people back these older games. And they sell decently, but it seems like everybody's like, oh, we're going to sell them for an audience who hasn't had a chance to play them before. But they don't sell in great numbers. Like, I doubt any of them have broke a 2 million.
Like,
so it's like,
let's say, for example, the last example that just came out was the Dark Souls 2 remaster.
Yeah.
That didn't sell well at all in Europe. It's already out of the charts. It started at like 22 or something, and now it's not selling at all. Instead, it's just Bloodborne that people actually want to play.
Or the other one, the Borderlands Handsome Collection.
Yeah.
That came and went with that whimper. I didn't even know it was out until the NPDs came out last week.
You just reminded me that that's actually a thing that exists.
And it's only a month old. That's the thing. So yeah, it's like it's diminishing. Saints Row President's Edition or whatever it was called.
Reelected.
I don't think that sold well either.
Yeah, that was out this year. Yeah. People forgot about that. It's like it's like they get announced and then they disappear. And I imagine that it's probably not that expensive. They don't need to sell a ton.
Well,
it's
not that expensive because they just use the PC versions of these games.
Yeah, and sometimes port that version poorly.
Yeah, Saints Row, for example.
Did Sleeping Dogs come out yet, or is that still?
Yeah,
lazy?
That was last year, I think. That was a poor port.
And see, that's the problem. If you're gonna bring these forward, do a good job on them.
Yeah, Sleeping Dogs was a really bad port.
And they asked full price for it.
It's insane.
Yeah.
What? It's just insane. And
or what's even better was Square Enix, not too long ago, they put out a PSP game on the PS4.
Oh, yeah, well, Final Fantasy Type.
Yo, no, wait. Yeah, but that was a free demo.
Yeah,
that was a free bundling for the Final Fantasy 15 demo. So,
yeah. And even that didn't help it too. I think it sold a million, but like, it really kind of collapsed in Japan.
Shocking.
Okay, again, the positivity podcast is going so well, but I just feel like remasters at this point have become a running joke, just because nobody puts the effort into actually making them new and compelling experiences, and it's not...
That's what the video games industry is about, doing nothing and getting paid for it.
What a great segue.
Yeah,
because that's what Valve do the best.
So I guess we're going to talk about that too.
Yep.
So this, if I've only been reading this tangentially, and most of it through Daniel, so it kind of has a negative tint to begin with. So Valve is now allowing you to sell your mods for PC games.
Yeah. So, basically, the way it works for now, it's just with Skyrim. But if you make a mod for a game, you sort of have to submit it for a approval process, and if it gets through, then you can sell it. And you can sell it for basically whatever you want, because there's a sword on Steam right now for 25 cents.
Oh, my favorite thing was someone selling horse genitals for $100.
So,
you know, even in context or out of context, it's just an amazing sentence.
And true. Here's the thing: it's like I don't have a problem with people getting paid for doing work, because obviously that's how the world runs, right? You make something, you get paid for it. You live, you make more stuff.
Yep.
Okay, that's fine, right? But what I have a problem with is everything else about this. So number one, let's say I make a thing and I put it up and sell it for $1, right? You buy it for $1, I get 25 cents of that. So Valve takes a 75%, well, a 75% cut is taken. I'm assuming that Bethesda gets a slice of that because it's their game. And obviously Valve gets a slice of that because they're hosting and it goes through Steam and they're the payment processor. Fine. But 75% is a lot to take. And,
yeah,
you know, it will become unsustainable for a lot of people because you have to charge a lot to get a decent amount back to you. And the more you charge for a mod, the less people are going to buy it, especially considering it's a mod to start with. There's a refund period of 24 hours. So if you download a mod and it doesn't work, then you can get a refund on it. And that seems to be initially okay until you realize that Valve doesn't have a similar policy for the actual games you're modding.
Yep.
And if the mod breaks after that 24 hours and you can't fix it because the modder changed something, their suggestion is politely ask on the forums for them to look into it. And if they don't want to do it, then you're shit out of luck. You've lost that money. And you've got a mod that will never work again, quite probably. And there's also been some other concerns, like amongst the modding community, it will create some kind of competition, I guess, that they can't deal with, because obviously these people are just people that, oh, I can make a thing for this game and, you know, maybe other people think this is cool, you know? And there are people that are just flat out objecting to the idea of mods in the first place, because like Bethesda games, and this is a good example considering a Bethesda game is the only game this you can buy mods for right now, a lot of the time they shit broke. And you need mods to fix those broken things. Like Skyrim's interface on PC is absolutely terrible, and there is a mod to fix it and make it actually really, really cool. But if you have to pay for that, then that's ridiculous. Like, I'm paying to get a game that works, even though I already paid $60 for it on launch.
And then I'm paying to basically fix what the developer did wrong.
Yeah. So there's numerous caveats to it, and
There's even one more thing that I think was really shitty. I saw a thing where a guy made a mod that involved... It was like a thing like a best-of mod or something. Like, it involved different other mods from other people, and he combined them all into one mod. So, and he wanted to sell that thing. And basically, he wanted to sell stuff that other people made, and not just stuff he did. And he asked Valve, well, what am I going to do here? And Valve just said, yeah, that's fine, just put it up.
And they've actually already had to take a mod off of Steam that was for sale, because it included assets that somebody had made and they didn't give permission for their use.
Yeah, that's...
Already.
That seems to be a nightmare scenario, because I understand, but yeah, you are working with somebody else's. I imagine it's going to be like the whole YouTube stuff after a while, where certain people are like, we don't want you to charge for stuff fixing our game, or like, I'm going to fix somebody else's mod, but now I have to get permission from the first. It seems to be a hurdle.
It is a mess, because I know that... I saw something, I don't know if it was true or not, apparently a guy got a mod removed off Steam because he was asking for donations.
Yeah, no, what I saw was that people said, like, yeah, I don't want to charge for my mod, but I want to be able to, like, take donations, which is, I think, a really noble thing. If people enjoy it, then give me money. If not, I don't care.
Yeah.
I think that's great. And usually that works, because people give money to things they enjoy. And apparently Valve went ahead and removed donation links from mods that didn't charge money.
Valve are being very fucking shitty about this, and it's ridiculous.
It's a system that's going to need a lot of work if they want to keep it that way. But it seems like...
But this is what Valve does, though, is they rely... They do nothing and they get paid for it. They're relying on the community to police for copyright. They're relying on the community for, you know... They're relying on community to fix their mods and provide support, even though they probably won't, because it's a mod, you know, it's something you make in your spare time. You know, you can't dedicate your life to it. You know, and it's just like, so you just want to get paid, and that's all you really see out of this. I know they're a business, that's their bottom line, to get money out of things, but, like, people have this notion that Valve is such a consumer-focused company. When they're not, they just care, these days they care about doing nothing and getting money for it. And
I mean, the basic idea of getting paid for making my mods is not bad, but this whole thing just...
And
what to happens, be half thought through at best.
What happens if somebody goes on the Skyrim Nexus website, downloads a mod off of there, re-uploads it to Steam, manages to get approval for it to be purchased by people? So now you're just taking people's assets and you're getting away with theft almost, because you're making money off of it? Like, and if nobody realizes, then, you know, it's scot-free for them, because Valve aren't going to police it.
Yeah.
Not my job, Valve says. I'm only hosting and taking the money. It's not my job to police whether it's supposed to be there or not. Ridiculous. I don't like Valve these days. They took the monopoly that people gave them with Steam, and they're doing what companies do when they have monopolies. And only now have people realized that that's what Valve are doing.
Speaking of, and I don't necessarily know if this was true or not, but are they not blocking, but limiting stuff you can do if your account has spent less than $5?
Yes, that's to cut down on spam, because I know loads of people that have been added by the same kinds of bots, and you can tell because they have the same avatars, and they just don't do anything,
yeah,
or they try
send
you scam links.
I get, like, bots that want to add me as a friend all the time.
Yeah. They do that to cut down on bots. Valve have done loads of stuff to try and cut down on bots, but because people have made software that you can just use to control Steam accounts, like, programmatically. So, you know, scams are rife on Steam, and Valve have tried everything, and they will continue to do anything they can to stop people making these bots, but it's just going to be futile in the end.
Yeah,
if somebody wants to make scam bots, they will do.
And now, basically, you have to spend at least $5 on something so that you can add friends and stuff, and message people.
Before, it used to be you had to buy a game. Now it's you have to spend at least $5, because you can buy games for, like, 70 cents or something.
I was about to say, because now you can buy a lot of games on Steam for $5.
But technically you could get a game for free if you win it or something, or have a code for something from a Humble Bundle or shit like that.
I mean, I don't have a problem with Valve restricting accounts, because it's $5, that's nothing. If you're signed up on a store, spend money. You know, what's the point in being signed up on a store otherwise?
Yeah, that's actually a good initiative, I thought, as well, because the spamming was getting out of hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe somebody shouldn't let Microsoft know that, because my Skype has been bombarded recently by spam accounts. I don't know why. But, yeah, apparently I know a lot of Bosom Beyonds.
Yeah, I get those as well. And you can tell they're bots, because you just type anything into the chat and they respond with the same things.
Yeah. The good old days of AIM. Yes, but... Don Matrix has Zynga. So
he's not that good a CEO after all.
I mean, Zynga, I think we talked about it when he was switching over to Zynga, but Zynga was sinking
ship. Yeah.
And that kind of didn't change.
No, of course. With an attitude well, we have an offline platform. It's called Xbox 360. Of course he wasn't going to be able to save that company.
It reminds me... I guess this was different, but it kind of reminds me of Jason Rubio when he was like, I'm going to THQ and I'm going to save it. Like, no, you're not. You can try, but...
If a ship is sinking, it's going down no matter what.
maybe you can get a couple of buckets of water and slow it down a bit, but it's not going to stop the descent. So, yeah.
To be fair to Jason Rubin, though, he tried.
But there was really not much you could do at that point with THQ. No. I mean, really? I think the best thing he's done is actually the stuff he's done post THQ, which is kind of he's been responsible for getting a lot of developers and the games into hands where people would actually continue and ship them. Well, you know, like Saints Row. I think he was responsible for connecting Nintendo with Devil's Third and stuff like that. So we'll see. I don't expect Don Matrix to do anything like that, but yeah. And I guess before we get into all of the new games that were announced, is there anything else we want to say? I guess technically speaking, there was a Xenoblade Chronicles X Direct yesterday, and I can be completely biased. I have Xenoblade Chronicles. It's one of my absolute favorite games of all time. One of my favorite games of the last generation, easily. So I'm looking forward to this big time. The Direct was really short. It was maybe 9 minutes. And it was basically, I don't know if you've seen the Japanese ones. Like they've had these 30-minute videos once a month. That kind of goes over the basics. It was basically that really condensed down. But then they spent an hour or so playing the game with the treehouse. And I have to say, I am going to be really disappointed if more people don't copy this. The treehouse, just the way they methodically break down a game and go through all the features and kind of show you the combat and stuff, it's just really a great way to sell a game to you. I mean, it's what a lot of Let's Players do, but, you know, they don't necessarily have the insight that a development or organization team would have who have been working on this game for 2 or 3 years. And we saw this actually at E3, but it was really nice to see it here. It kind of sucks because it was all in Japanese still. So I don't know why people were expecting like a June release date or something like that. They did reassure that it's coming out this year. My guess is this, I don't think this will be Nintendo's big title for the year. So I'm expecting it maybe in September, October. But it looks like a massive game. And I can't wait for that to come out.
It's crazy how big that game is. Like, I'm not even just talking about, like, in the sense of how much content it has, just like the scope of how fucking huge the monsters are, and you can zoom all the way out, and there's this thing that's still really big when you're zoomed all the way out, and it's like, oh, God.
Yes, and another thing, and I've said this before, I really love the enemy design in this game. Like, their monsters are just, I mean, part of it is scale, but their monsters are just really, really...
They're very iconic looking as well, and they're really freaky. And it's just like, oh, I don't want that to fight me at all, let alone the fact that it's 10, 20 levels above me and it's 30 foot high. And
yeah, and I know this is a staple of the genre now. It wasn't back in the day, but I do have, not the fact that you can see all the enemies on the world map, but the fact that they engage with you differently, like there's certain enemies they were talking about, if you're running around and you're as a human, they won't really bother with you because you're not a threat. But those same enemies, like if you come back through in one of your mechs, are going to be more aggressive because you're closer to their size now. And then there's enemies, and this is in the first Xenoblade as well, there's enemies who react differently to different stuff. Like, there's some enemies who will engage you in battle if they see you. There are some enemies who, if you make too much noise, they will engage you and hunt you down. There's some that if you're in battle, and they can get called over by their friends and stuff like that. So there was one sequence during this where, like, they're trying to jump past an enemy, and they jump past him, and they're running away, and then they get knocked into battle, because while they were jumping, I guess he spotted them and ran after them, and I thought that was really awesome. because it makes it seem like these are different creatures. It's not like, okay, you go here and there's going to be an AI enemy there. It's like they're all there and there are ways around them and there's ways to combat them if you want to. And that was one of my favorite parts of Xenoblade. So yes, it's a hugely massive game that I'm looking forward to. Okay. So with that out of the way, we haven't had a show in, I think, 3 weeks. So there has been a lot of game announcements. We kind of mentioned the old ones, but let's kind of start with one we talked about the last time because it was heavily rumored, and because Activision can't keep a secret. There's a new Guitar Hero coming out this year. Guitar Hero Live? Is that what it's called?
Yes.
I think so.
I can tell that you two are so enthused by this Guitar Hero. But yes,
I was never a Guitar Hero person anyway, so...
I was, but this new one, I question heavily.
Yeah, I think that's the general consensus.
Yeah, my biggest fear with it, honestly, is that I feel like those videos would get really old really quickly.
Yep.
It just depends on what the variations are. And
they already said there's... I mean, the band stuff is basically what you... So we should explain. What they're doing is you will have a story mode in which you will play real songs. And what they did is recorded basically a whole show from a perspective of the lead guitarist. But not with the real band, but with weird fake bands in front of fake people. And they, when you play good, they cheer. If you play bad, they boo you. And they basically have two videos streaming, and they switch in between those depending on how well you do. So basically, it can only go two ways if you play that song in the story mode or campaign or career mode or whatever you want to call it. And the other thing is, if you do free play, basically anything you do will just have the music video playing in the background, which seems very lazy.
I don't know. I don't really, like, as long as they do have enough variation in the videos that play in the background, I guess.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, it's early yet, but it seemed like a lot of them, like, it's same, like, the whole idea is, like, you're on stage with the band and stuff, and there's only so much footage of that you can get.
Yeah, you know? I don't know, honestly, I don't know why people just, like, are up in arms because it's FMV, and I really hate that term, considering, like, it's just video, like, what's the,
I
what
just think
the specific
it,
term for it?
I
anyway,
think it looks very cheap. I thought seeing those fake bands annoyed me already. They looked like the biggest douchebags. The crowd reactions are nothing like anything you would see at a real concert. In a real concert, you do not see the front row booing the shit out of you and throwing up signs that you can't play guitar. That's not a thing that happens.
I guess so.
I don't know if you've ever been at one. That's not how things work.
Well, people don't carry signs to say you can't play guitar and you can play guitar. So, you know. I just think that, like... I when I play Guitar Hero, I never cared about anything that was happening outside of the highway. So why should anyone else...
I always liked the 3D stuff that was happening. I mean, I can't look at it all the time, but sometimes you have downtime in between, and then there was some interesting stuff happening there that you could look at least, and it varied.
I was also going to say that you also had an avatar. I think the big thing here is because it's supposed to be first person, that is, your attention is supposed to be drawn to the crowd. It might not be a huge deal breaker. It just doesn't seem like something that's really like, oh my gosh. And that's kind of my big fear with it. It's like, it just seems there for the sake of, like Martin said, it seems to be like the cheapest way to do it. Instead of like creating new 3D models, we're just going to record this video and call it a day.
I don't know. Like, they have to revive a franchise that killed itself. So If it's cheap, then if they're doing it because it's the cheapest way to do it, then, you know, this is a business that's taking a risk again, I guess. But, you know, you have Rock Band, buy that instead, because it sounds like Rock Band 4 is just going to be what you used to.
Yeah, most likely. It's just, I don't know. It's not. I don't think they are doing something particularly great, and it just looks worse than what they did before.
Yeah, I see that it's like a potential to be like gimmick for a sake of a gimmick.
Yeah.
But honestly, if I was playing, as long as the game plays well outside of the Note Highway, I don't care. You could put literally anything there and it wouldn't bother me.
Mm. Well, we'll see. Also, they have a new guitar with 6 buttons.
Of course they have a new guitar.
Free on top.
It wouldn't
free
be the video
bottom.
Games industry if you didn't learn from your mistakes last time, would it?
Well, I mean, to be Rock Band is kind enough. I think you can use your old instruments for Rock Band.
Yeah, they have like 100% backwards compatibility, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, I think part... Well, no, because Guitar Hero is also USB as well, wasn't it?
I have not played the last Guitar Hero because as soon as Rock Band came out, I never touched Guitar Hero again.
Yeah, I prefer Rock Band as well.
So, don't ask me. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
that seems to be everybody's reaction.
We're super excited for this, huh? Woo! Rock Band, yay! Okay, we also got an announcement of a new Deus Ex title.
Yeah,
and
I would be excited for it if I could have seen gameplay for it.
The screenshots look good, but they have obviously been doctored.
Because remember that Thief game that they released that wasn't that great?
Yep.
I do.
The thing is, The Last Deus Ex I loved, but then the Thief game came out, and now I'm not so sure if I should be so excited about the new Deus Ex. But it's cool that we are getting a new one, because I love the cyberpunk scenario they have. I love the gameplay possibilities of Deus Ex, so I guess cautiously excited?
Yeah. It could quite easily be really, really good, but it could also quite easily not be good.
Yeah. That's the issue, I guess.
Okay, let's see if we can find a positive game announcement in this one.
It's kind of positive. It's just that the Thief game was so bad, I don't know if I can be excited.
Okay, Viggo Dimensions. Which is Viggo's take on the whole Toys to Life business that has been populated by Sky and this Disney Infinity. I would lump Amiibos in there, even though I don't technically think they do as much. Mm-hmm. And now this, which I'm actually super excited for. I
am kind of as well, just because the Lego games in some way are known quantity, so you know you're probably getting a quality game. And I think what Lego is doing with their toys is kind of way better what everyone else is doing, because they are not just static like statues. You can actually play with it, because it really looks like, from the stuff we've seen, that all the information about the figure or the vehicle or whatever is probably saved in the base, and on top of it is either a normal Lego figure or a bunch of Lego stuff you have to build on top of it. So technically you can play with all that stuff however you want, or just use the bricks to build other stuff, which is kind of cool, which makes it more of a toy than all the other games.
Well, not only that, they have the potential to include Lego sets in this, and there's like a million of those.
Yep.
You know?
Technically,
and
they could put out normal Lego sets and then include bases for this game.
Yep. And they could, you know, all the licensed Lego sets from the, like, the maker online, you know, you could, once they get the license to those licenses, they could include those in Lego Dimensions, potentially.
if LEGO decided to reinvigorate the initiative where you could build your own sets online and then send them to you, they could technically, if they have a system in place in the game, you could build your own sets and then they send you a base that you can use.
Yep.
And I was going to say, from a gameplay standpoint, it has the recognizability that Skylander doesn't, even though I guess Skylander has built that up over the past 4 years. But more importantly to me, it does what Disney Infinity didn't, which is it allows you to use characters in all settings. You can have Batman show up in a DeLorean while he's hanging out in the Middle Earth.
Yep.
And you can't. And that was my biggest pet peeve with Disney Infinity. One of the reasons I never wanted to jump in is because you had very distinct sets and very distinct universes. And even those were arbitrary. You couldn't use Spider-Man in the Avengers set.
Which is stupid.
Yeah, that's what
it is. And LEGO, I mean, at least they don't have a problem with it because they established that everything can cross over in the games, kinda, and at least in their movie. So they just went full out with that.
And the bigger thing, especially with the first wave of oddities, are Warner Brothers properties, and Warner Brothers owns the company. So it's not like Disney has the same thing. It's not like Marvel saying, no, you can't. It's Disney saying that you can't do this. But with, it's like, okay, you want Batman in Middle-Earth, you got it. You want Gandalf in Gotham, you got it.
Although it's not all Warner. I mean, they also have Back to the Future.
Oh, no, not all Warner. I think, and I forget if Wizard of Oz is, I don't think Wizard of Oz is Warner. But, I mean, and the only thing that I think might get confusing is, I guess this is what you kind of get accustomed to with a lot of these, but when you buy stuff, you buy several, it has vehicles, which is the first for any of these games.
Mm-hmm.
But you have the figures, you have the vehicles, and then you have the stages, which are something different. So like you have to buy those sets as well. Like you can, I think there's like, the, I think the Marty McFly DeLorean, Back to the Future.
That's not necessarily new. I mean, Skylander stuff also had stages they would sell.
Okay, but I mean, was it stages or was it characters that unlocked these stages?
No, it was stages. It was like a castle figurine, and you put it on there, and then you unlock that level in the game.
And I do not follow Skylanders enough. I know people are going to have problems with the price. I think it's relatively fair. I think it's like $15 for the characters.
I mean, if you consider what normal LEGO costs, it's pretty
LEGO's
well
not
alive.
Cheap anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, LEGO isn't cheap these days, so.
And I think the other thing is, it's not like you get a Wonder Woman figure. You get a ton of Wonder Woman pieces.
Yep.
To build, so it's not like, okay, we're just gonna give you this figure for $15. It's like you get a bunch of LEGO pieces that you can use for whatever reason.
Yep. Which I think, I'm not sure you will probably not do, but I think for kids, that's kind of great that they can really play freely with that stuff however they want.
Yeah, and I mean, especially being that the game's not going to recognize your funky Batman, but your Batman doesn't have to look like your friend's Batman down the hall, but it's the same Batman in the game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I super excited. And out the end in October, I believe they said. It's,
I'm not sure right now.
It's $100 for the base set, which comes with, I think it's Batman, Ganondorf, somebody, is it Emmerich from the Lego movie?
No.
It's
what's a girl again called?
The what?
Isn't it the girl from the Lego movie in the base set?
Wild Child? Wild Star?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You get the portal, you get the game, and you get a Batmobile. So it's
That's a pretty good selection, actually.
Yeah.
And it's actually a really nice portal, because they actually dress it up as an actual, like, Lego portal.
Yeah, you actually build the Lego portal yourself on top of the base, which is cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's toys to life, but more importantly, it's also still toys. Which, I collect Amiibos because I think they're cool-looking figures. But it's just kind of that. It's a collection. Where this is kind of like, I still get to play with this, even if I'm not playing with it.
Yeah. I always thought, like, to me, it's like, calling them toys, okay, they are more like collectible figures, not toys. If they were toys, they had, like, arms they could move and stuff like that.
Yeah, okay. So, yes, super excited for that. Can't wait till it comes out. What else?
You will spend way too much money on it.
We'll see.
Might as well.
Yeah, yeah. And it helps. I wanted to get into Disney Infinity, but they this toy doesn't work with that really kind of turned me off from it. And I'm happy that this does. And I also like that they're doing, I'm surprised and not surprised at the same time. Like, their first two DC characters are Wonder Woman and Cyborg. And it's like, okay, they're going to be different. It's not going to be like, okay, Superman and Flash and Green Lantern. It's like, we're just going to, you know, Wonder Woman and Cyborg. And there's a ton of other great characters.
That's the thing. Lego has been really good about, that's not like a political thing, just in general, they have been really good about diversity in their toy line. And that shows in representation, and that shows also in what kind of heroes they pick from DC or even Marvel. They don't just pick stuff from the big movies, they also sometimes just pick some very obscure characters, and they're totally fine with that. And since these toys technically already exist in Lego form, they can just go, yeah, we have this mold and stuff, we can just produce a shit ton of it and ship it with bases for this game.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess technically speaking, that is one of the things, if they wanted to, like, even though it's going to be Batman in the game, there's no reason that they couldn't include, like, a Batwoman head for that character, or, you know, like, a female Ganondorf or something like that as part of the set, where, like, you can still have a toy that's modeled after your gender or your race or whatever.
Yep. They've already shown that they're not afraid to allow variations in the short teaser trailer. They had the Batmobile be rebuilt, and it sounded like that's possibly also a change in-game. I don't think whatever you build will be in-game, but they might have like a couple variations.
Yeah. Yeah. It shall be... It shall be fun. I can't wait. I really can't wait. I know people who have pre-ordered the entire set. I think they said it came out to like $348
or
something. Whoa, like
that's crazy.
Yeah, but it's a lot of sets. They come out right away with like 5 sets that you can buy for the game or something.
It's like Disney. I mean, well, it's like DC. It's Lord of the Rings. It's Wizard of Oz. It's Back to the Future.
Is Turtles there?
No, it's Ninjago.
Okay.
And they have the Lego movie with Unikitty.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's a lot of...
I would suspect on the line Turtles as well.
Yeah, I mean, honestly speaking, I would imagine that they might do what Disney does. Like, I'm happy that they're doing Cyborg and Wonder Woman, but I imagine that they might be saving, like, Superman and Aquaman and all those other people for, like, Batman versus Superman next year. And then, like, Ninja Turtles you can do when when TMNT 2 comes out.
Mm-hmm. Or they can, I mean, since they have the toy line, they have times at which a new line of Turtles toys come out. Combining that with the game would also work.
Yeah, or when the TV show premieres, even though it has such a weird airing schedule. But yeah,
and the other thing they can do for somewhat older children and stuff, they have a new Bionicle line. Technically, they could do Bionicle for this.
Yeah. I mean, there's a ton of stuff they can do. I have no interest in Ninjago, but that's, you know, they're doing that, so I'm sure Bionicle's on the table. So yes. And I think this is our final game announcement. No, we have two more. I guess we can do this one since we're sticking with since we talked about DC. And this has been a criticism of Marvel recently, but Marvel and Telltale announced that they're developing a game for 2017.
Oh, so that's what I missed the other day. I was like, why are people talking about Telltale again?
No, they're not talking about their broken games this time.
No.
Well, I mean, they still might be talking about their broken games. honestly speaking, fan of Marvel, enjoy their movies. When I think of comic books, I do not think of great writing.
Very is some good writing.
There's some good writing, but it's not necessarily like, okay, this is... I mean, I say that, and then
I mean, wouldn't say that Watchmen, for example, is great writing?
But Watchmen is very different.
Yeah,
but
you said comics.
Let me specify. When I think of current, continuing superhero, imagine this is going to be set in a continuing superhero universe and not necessarily, Watchmen was a standalone.
If you want to say
franchise.
Current Marvel writing is not really up to snuff, I would agree with you.
At the same time, just to kind of defeat my own point, The Wolf Among Us was actually well received, and that was a comic book series as well, so... It's possible. The difference with that, though, is The Wolf Among Us is such a tiny universe compared to Marvel or DC.
My biggest problem is that as long as Telltale keeps announcing these games, it means they're not fixing that junk engine that they use.
No. And the other thing is, when I think superheroes, I usually also think action, and that's not something Telltale is going to deliver, or if they do, it's going to not work out well. And I also kind of have to say, I bought the Game of Thrones Telltale thing. I think the last Telltale game before that was the first season of Walking Dead that I played and really enjoyed. And I don't know if I did pick up anything after that. I don't think so. And I did pick up Game of Thrones because I love Game of Thrones. But, the last episode that came out, I wasn't really playing it right away when it came out. I kind of feel like I'm over their concept. It feels like it's kind of done at this point.
Yeah, like they're driving their own games into the ground. You know, there's nothing really that wrong with them. It's just there's too many of them at one time, and that engine is terrible, and they need to fix it.
Yeah, and at this point, it really is just a pure... story delivery system, and people have figured out a long time ago how their decisions affect, or in most cases actually don't affect the game at all, and in that sense it's, I don't think the concept is that interesting anymore.
Yeah,
I particularly don't want to see it with superheroes, to be honest.
I was going to say, I'm really curious what you think, because this game's not out for another 2 years.
It doesn't matter. It's not going to be any different to anything else that they're going to do.
That's what I meant, though. It's if you feel this way now, 2 years is a long time for Telltale.
Yes.
They still have to finish Game of Thrones. They said they're doing a Walking Dead Season 3.
They haven't finished the Borderlands series yet.
They haven't finished the Borderlands series.
Minecraft
game. I assume the Game of Thrones thing was probably a success, so they would probably do another season of that.
I imagine they're doing another season of Wolf Among Us. So if people are getting burnt out of that now, imagine in 2 years' time, especially being that I've only played The Walking Dead season one, so I don't know. I've heard ramblings. I can't confirm this person. Their engine is junk for a.
It's so bad. If you have a 360 controller plugged into your computer and you launch the game, the engine crashes because there's a file that isn't put in a specific folder by default.
Yeah, what I don't get is. I don't get how their engine's so bad. It's an action heavy game.
It's old. That's how it's bad. It's really old.
It just seems insane to me. It's
For attractive people, which came out in 2008, is on the same engine as the Game of Thrones game.
The thing is, they have this engine, which was never that great to begin with, but it was fine for them to put stuff out in a relatively fast fashion. And at this point, they are just bolting a couple of things onto it because they have a process that apparently works. And if you work on a new engine, that pipeline basically breaks down.
Because they rely on churning these games out again and again and again and again.
Yeah.
And again. They need to stop and smell the roses for a bit. But we can get that for another 2 years now, so...
Yeah. I think if this was a auxiliary announcement from Marvel, if it was like, oh, and we're also doing this, that would be awesome. But right now, it is literally the only game they have announced on the horizon for any of their properties. Mm-hmm. And Nate Martin says, it's not action heavy. It's not like, oh man, I can't wait for like this Platinum Spider-Gwen game or whatever. It's like, no, you have this Telltale game in 2 years. And that's all you get so far. Unless you're really, really into mobile games.
Yeah,
mobile games are fine.
And who do you even pick for such a game? If I wanted to make a Marvel Telltale game, and looking at how they make these games currently, I mean, their form, I wouldn't pick any of the heroes that are currently on the big screen.
I would say... I see, this is the problem, because they don't... They don't have the license. I think ideally the perfect Telltale universe to set it in would be X-Men, where like you're a new mutant being recruited to the university.
Okay, maybe, yeah.
But they don't have the X-Men license, and they're not going to promote it if they don't have that. I was going to say, like, okay, you could do the same thing, but being like an X-Men is different than a Avenger. Like, an X-Men is, like, it's people who have powers who don't know what to do with them. You go to a school. Avengers, you're supposed to be a well-established hero.
Oh, maybe you can do an Inhuman that has to learn how to deal with the powers.
I guess that's a possibility.
At least that's the book that's also right now going on Marvel.
And another one that could possibly work is... And I don't necessarily know if this is true, so spoilers, I haven't seen the movie yet. But I hear that rumors is that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is setting up like an Avengers Academy type situation.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's something like that, where it's like you're a new mutant, you're a new, you know, power being... Again, it really depends. Like what moral... Like it's going to be Civil War all over again. Like, you can't give your heroes a moral gray zone where it's like, okay, you do this thing and you know, like, and then Iron Man will kill this person, or you do this thing and then Captain America will kill this person. Like, that doesn't work in the Marvel universe, because
I have two other heroes right now in mind that would also work for the kind of games that Telltale makes. But problem is, they would probably never pick them. I was thinking of Jessica Jones and Howard the Duck. I mean, they're both private eyes, right?
I mean, technically, you could do Daredevil that way, too. Like, have a Daredevil... Well, everybody says...
Daredevil is too much action.
But he's also an attorney. You could do,
yeah,
She-Hulk. Even though people are...
She-Hulk I would see before...
Hey, don't mention scene with Daredevil around. That's just cruel. But yeah, I mean, no, people are like, they want like an Ace Attorney meets Arkham Knight or Arkham City type deal for Daredevil game. That would actually kind of be kind of cool. We're actually looking for clues and stuff to build up your Eagle case by kicking. Well, if you've seen the TV show, Daredevil's method of finding information is just punching people until they tell him something.
That's
it's true.
Doesn't have.
Well, yeah. There were other ways as well, but a lot of his information came from punching people.
It's the Batman.
I mean, it's
school.
Not that much different in the comics, so whatever.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's the Batman school of torture. You just kind of beat up somebody until they give you what you want. But yeah, it's an interesting... Well, it's an odd collaboration. It's also random that they just kind of announced it. Like, if anything, I would have saved it for next... Well, I guess, again, it's different, because we don't get Avengers until next week, but you folks have it already.
Yeah.
So...
I'm seeing it tomorrow, to be honest.
Oh, fancy us. Okay, and the final announcement of this week, and actually one I'm really curious and excited for, more curious though, Monster Hunter Stories, which is a Monster Hunter RPG.
Yeah. I mean...
Well, Monster Hunter's an RPG anyway, but yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's more of an action game than an RPG, to be honest. And but yeah, it seems like they go like a cutesy RPG route, kinda. I mean, the large monsters still look like the large monsters, but the main hero is a small kid and rides on a baby Rathalos, which was really cute, I thought. And But Axel is nice, I thought.
Yeah. It's a nice sort of side direction for the series to go.
Yeah, I have zero issues with this, because it's not like your normal Monster Hunter is going away. You're still getting that, and now they put out, hey, let's put out an RPG. We already have all these cool monsters, so let's build an RPG around that with possibly a fun story.
And the good thing about that as well, hopefully, fingers crossed, it also gives Capcom time to kind of step away from the core Monster Hunter game and probably work on really making Monster Hunter 5 something special. Mm-hmm. When they say, we can still continue to use the brand. And I imagine that Monster Hunter stories will sell really well in Japan, just, if nothing else, for the curiosity factor of, like, what is so different about
it. They like Monster Hunter and they like RPGs, so it should be a winner.
I'm personally kind of excited for it. I like Monster Hunter, so seeing these monsters and stuff with a potentially cute story, I like the art style. And I'm just curious what another Capcom RPG would look like. They have not done an RPG in, like, forever.
Well, they did Breath of Fire on the mobile device.
That doesn't count.
Nobody plays mobile games, though.
That doesn't count. I think technically the last RPG they did, like, on home consoles or handhelds was probably Breath of Fire 5 on PS2?
I mean, technically, doesn't Dragon Dogma count?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I guess, yeah. But I was more thinking, like, the traditional JRPG route. But we don't know how this game will work. It might involve more action and stuff like that, which would fall in line with Monster Hunter. I could see it, maybe they go for a combat system that's more like Kingdom Hearts or the new Final Fantasy 15 than, I don't know, Final Fantasy 6, just to give some examples.
Yeah.
And that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, and I think, and even though this is really odd to say because of what it is, I'm actually really kind of curious to see if it helps the franchise in the West. RPGs aren't great to us, but they tend to do slightly better on handhelds than the Monster Hunter games have.
Mm-hmm. Although, you say that now, but Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate is the Monster Hunter that has been doing the...
Oh, yeah,
the West since forever. It sold a million outside of Japan, which is really good.
The franchise has really taken off, but, I mean, I think this might help, like, you know...
Do you mean further improve,
yeah,
like, brand recognition and stuff like that? Yeah, possibly.
Because I think one of the big problems with Monster Hunter, and we had this discussion before, it's the same thing with, it's like a lot of people kind of talk about how difficult and how dense it is to get into, and I don't necessarily think that's true, but that's the big stigma everybody hears, so everybody's like, I don't know if I want to get into this.
Well, the very least, it doesn't
you
help
might be right, because technically
much.
You could, like, introduce concepts from the core Monster Hunter series in this RPG in a slightly different form, because it's an RPG, it would make it easier, and...
Yeah.
Basically introduce people to concepts like, hey, if you go into a hot region, drink a cold drink.
Yeah.
And that's something you could very easily introduce in an RPG, easier than in the core monsters, I would think.
Or the same thing about, like, having to defeat certain monsters to have them drop certain stuff so you can build certain types of... Like, people are...
And you could already learn from the RPG what these monsters drop, because they are the same monsters than in the core game.
Or a better idea of, like, some of the weapons, their strengths and weaknesses. Like, some of them won't necessarily carry over because you don't have, like, the framed... Well, it depends on the type of system, but you won't necessarily have the frame differences and stuff like that. But, you know, stuff like... Even, like, making your own food, your health rations, that stuff you can be introduced in a setting that people are more familiar with.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, could work. I'm kind of excited for it. Did the trailer say a year at the end? I kind of forgot.
I don't think so. I think
it did say nothing, right?
No, it was one of those announcements that just literally came out of nowhere. It's like, yeah, we're making a Monster Hunter RPG middle of, like, a Saturday evening.
But usually I would suspect it's probably not that far off.
It probably isn't, but we haven't seen any gameplay, so...
There was a bit at the end.
Okay, so, I mean, if anything,
not much, it was just basically the kid on the Ruffalo's seeing like this open plain. I think that was gameplay at the end.
Okay. I was going to say, we might see more of this at E3. I mean, Nintendo and Monster Hunter have been a big thing. And this wasn't in the news, but I wanted to touch on this really quickly. That E3 is going to be really busy this year. It seems like everybody's kind of going back to having individual press conferences.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we knew, you know, we expect the usual Microsoft, Sony, whatever Nintendo's doing. EA,
I suspect Nintendo is doing the same thing they did last year.
I imagine they're doing the same thing, but I would wait until they announce it either way, which I guess would be this week when they do their financial quarter stuff. But we also, you know, came out earlier that Bethesda was going to do their own show. Mm-hmm. And now this week we just got word that Square is doing their own show. Mm-hmm. So,
and Bethesda is doing their own show.
Just said that.
Oh, sorry, I kind of missed it. So we have EA,
Ubisoft,
Bethesda, Square.
Then the big three.
And the big three.
The schedule this year is going to be nuts.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I've seen other people joke about it, but I don't necessarily know if that's true. Like, I know I saw Devolver Digital joking about that, but it could just be... I mean, they have enough indie games for that.
They might just go on a parking lot and do something.
Well, they've done crazier things. They, GDC one year, they bought a bus, and they said, if you've got an indie game, get on the bus, and we'll sign you, if we think you're cool. You know?
Yeah. They might do something stupid, but not as big as most.
They are the true punk rockers of the video game industry. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, so it's going to be very fascinating. It's going to be.
At least we are not getting an Activision one, because that's the other one they did.
How do you have a press conference with two games?
Exactly.
Three games. Thank you very much. They have Skylanders.
Oh, Activision did have one, like, 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
I don't know if they had one recently, but...
We should get a Konami one again.
Yeah.
It's actually
and
kind
of fun. They can spend an hour showing us all the things that they've scrubbed Kojima's name off.
Also, I'm sure the American press will be thrilled to hear about Pro Evolution Soccer.
I was going to say, it's kind of funny in hindsight, because Konami was trying to do the, Konami basically tried to do what Nintendo's doing now, because the year after that whole disaster of the XXXXYYYY, they did a pre-recording press conference, and that was the last one they did, and they kind of went away from that. And that is kind of what Nintendo has done actually with the...
Yeah, the problem was that Konami no longer had games.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it helps if you have a game.
It didn't really get the hype they wanted out of it, because the whole conference leaked before it was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, not just the information, but the whole video.
We can have a show about this another time. But there has been some fantastic E3 leak stories. I think my personal favorite was the one dude up in the beaches recording the Microsoft rehearsal.
I still remember, I think that it was 3 years ago, when I and a couple of other people got, like, all the Microsoft announcements per email, like, I think 10 or 15 minutes before Microsoft press conference started.
Somebody doesn't know how time zones work.
That was pretty great.
Yeah. I mean, Microsoft has been the key for a lot of them. There was one where literally, I think like an hour before it went off, there was like somebody found like the list of all their announcements and the order it was going to be in. I think it was like Halo, when they announced Halo 4 or something like that. And it's like, yeah, I feel for them. Sony used to be pretty bad at that as well, but Sony...
Oh, yeah. What was it? Something with a Vita, right? I think that was when they launched the Vita. Wasn't that the whole thing? That the whole thing leaked beforehand?
Did it? I know. I honestly have to go back and think about it. Nintendo.
There were a couple of things, but Sony at least was joking about
they're pretty funny about that. And Nintendo tends to get screwed over by the Japanese newspaper, who always seems to run their article like the morning of.
Yeah, it's always Nikkei.
Yeah. It's like, okay, we want Nintendo Geeks, we just got away from Ninja. Because last year, the Star Fox was revealed before their press conference.
Yep.
So yeah, it's like, oh, okay. And I know they revealed New Super Mario Bros. Wii before a press conference as well. And the finger thingy. I forget what it's called now.
Vitality sensor?
There we go, that's the one. I mean, granted, in hindsight, that doesn't matter because it never came out. But yeah, that was secret.
Probably
well.
Never will.
I was actually surprised they didn't make part of that. I'm surprised they didn't make part of that into the Wii U in some way. You know, like you have in your hand on this thing, but whatever. Mm. We will be back in 2 weeks, probably, depending on how big news is. And I think May will be a bit different because I've always been a fan of our E3 countdown. But I think we might just do, instead of breaking it up over a month, might just do one episode that's kind of like an E3, like, you know, like where we are, what we know about each company. And then like the first week of June, we'll do like an E3 prediction show and then an E3 recap show.
When exactly is E3 this year?
It's actually later this year. I was checking because I might take time off for it. It's June 15th, 16th. Well, I mean, the show itself is the 16th through the 19th, mm-hmm. but the press conference is like 15th and 16th.
Yeah, so I guess the week before that we will do a show with expectations or stuff we might have heard. Stuff like
yes.
that.
Yes. So, yeah, for Daniel, Martin, and myself, this has been Do World It.